Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32b. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Barak's faith. And this for our consideration today. And I'd like to read to you the entire verse 32 of Hebrews 11. And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Just one thought as we consider Barak's faith in obedience to God's command. This man, Barak, lived in the time of the judges, and God raised him to subdue the formidable Canaanite army led by their captain, this man called Sisera, to deliver Israel out of oppression. The oppression that came upon God's people lasted 20 years, 20 long years. And Sisera, this captain of the Canaanite army, has harnessed a formidable fighting machine, 900 chariots of iron. Those were the most sophisticated fighting machines of biblical times. Judges chapter 4 and 5 gives to us the story of Barak. And we want to study and understand concerning how this man demonstrated faith. He was not really a featured person. As you read Judges chapter 4, Judges chapter 5, but you see him here highlighted in Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith. Why so? This is what we want to examine. Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, Ehud was the, the crippled man. He was sent by God, he was a cripple, and yet he was able to accomplish a great mission for God, although he was a handicapped man, to deliver Israel during his time. The story here tells us that the king Jabin of Canaan reigned in this land called Hazor, and the captain of his army, of whose host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And the Lord wants us to see how this man, Barak, led an army of 10,000 men against the Canaanite army led by Sisera. This was a battle of might. You would see that there is no mention of a miracle, any special strategy, unlike the other battles we saw earlier. At the Red Sea, you recall, at Jericho, Gideon's battle last week we saw against the Midianites. In fact, it was a woman by the name of Jael whom God used kill Sisera when Sisera fled on foot to a tent for refuge. That was her tent. And Jael dwelt and delivered his body to Barak. What did she do? Well, the man was resting and he drove a nail through his temples. Barak, we want to observe how he obeyed God's command to lead the army to deliver Israel from the Canaanites. And we want to consider this man's faith in terms of the fact that he was obedient to the command of God to do so. Dr. Carl McIntyre, he observed when he was reviewing and studying this text, and I'd like to highlight and share with all of us here. He says this: just ordinary events are recorded. We have only an account of ordinary providence of life. The battle was fought, the captain fled, a woman was killed, a woman killed him. This does not mean, of course, that the instances of faith that we have considered in which great miracles took place are to be minimized. Not at all. The lesson of all these instances is that God honors obedience. For all his servants, they followed the Lord's command, whether it's by miracle or, in this case, by ordinary circumstances. God always does what he promises when we obey his commands. As a matter of fact, in the study of the instances which we have in Hebrews, one great lesson has impressed itself upon us. And Dr. Carl McIntyre said this: faith is implicit obedience to God's word. God honors his word. God always backs up his commands. God has never failed. This is the greatest lesson of the Christian life. And if we align ourselves with the will of God, if we have taken time to know the will of God that is revealed to us in his word, then we are standing in good state. God is doing his, we are doing God's will according to God's way by the mercy of God. Judges 4 verse 4 opens the scene for us. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. It was Deborah, the judge, the lady judge, and she is the only lady judge that is whom God raised during the period of the judges. And here it is said in verse 6 of Judges verse 4 that she sent and called Barak the son of Abinoam out of Kadesh Naphtali and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor. I've given you a picture of Mount Tabor there in your notes. And take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, and with his chariots and his multitude, and I would deliver him into thine hand. So as you look at the picture of Mount Tabor, the vast plains, you can imagine, right, the battle that is going on or that is taking place there. God spoke to Deborah and she conveyed the command of God to Barak to do battle. And in God's communication to Deborah, he conveyed the battle place and pronounced the victory for Israel. So God told them where to fight. And then God said to them that they will have the victory. And the 10,000 men, the army will be drafted from from the tribe of Naphtali and Zebulun. Now, let's watch here. What was Barak's response? What was Barak's response? As I ponder and as I think, well, you would see some light there as you consider, as we look at it. Barak said unto her, "If thou wilt go with me," that's to Deborah, "then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went to with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with him. Dr. Carl McIntyre, he interpreted insightfully. He says, what was the attitude of Barak towards this command? Barak said unto Deborah, "If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go." Deborah was the mouthpiece of the Lord. She delivered the commandment to Barak. And Barak was ready to act. But the person who represented the Lord must also go with him. As you think, very logical. He might get into difficulties where he would need counsel and advice. He would not know just what to do. And he must have the prophetess along that she could speak for God. In other words, Barak wanted to have along with him the word of the Lord. He would not venture forth without the word of the Lord with him. Now that's a very good application, right, as we consider this text. If we would not have the word of God to instruct us, the word of God to show us the wisdom of the matter ahead, then let's not go, as Barak said. How important. But if we have it, then let's go. So, and then he applied very well. He says, in our day, we of course have the commands of the Lord in the Bible. But as we obey those commands of the Lord in the Bible, and as we take our journey, we must have the Bible with us, the Word of God. The Bible is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Barak depended upon Deborah. She was the Lord's mouthpiece. The Bible is to a missionary what Deborah was to Barak. And so we learn a very good lesson here, and how we must always have available the sword with us, the Word of God. And we pray the Spirit of God will show us the wisdom, how to act. And he further observed, interestingly, when Barak said he would go, provided Deborah went with him, she said, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor." There's a significant point there. The journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. She reminded Barak that he was not to receive any personal glory from the engagement. And at that point, he observed, many men would quit and go home. They would not want to continue. But this man, Barak, he went out to battle. He marshaled his men, fought all the day long. And after he had borne the burden and the heat of the day, Sisera fled, taking refuge in the tent of a woman who had had no part whatsoever in the battle. And she had been in the background, but this this woman receive all the honor for the capturing and killing of the captain of the enemy's host. The man who did all the fighting received nothing. And the woman who did nothing received the glory. How often it is this way, he observed, in the Lord's work. Yet, Barak was ready to go. There was no honor for him, in the sense that all the honor will go to a woman. And yet he was willing to go, because that was not his concern, his own glory, but the glory of the Lord. He was not interested in honor. He was interested in obeying God's commands. Faith leaves the rewards in God's hands. There are many, many men who are willing to obey God's commands, and they are willing to take the word of God along with them, but they look for personal praise. They feast upon a pattern, unless they can be president of the society or chairman of the committee, or unless they can run the work and receive the honor from it, they will not play. Barak was different. He was genuine in faith. He did what God asked him to do, and he left all favors with him whose commands are life. Since we are speaking about the providence of God in this message, it is significant to observe that though Barak did not receive the honor in this battle, nevertheless, because of his faith, his name is engraved in the honor roll of the heroes listed in Hebrews 11. You see here, God has a way of going about his business to bless those who would be willing to follow him. He went in obedience to the command. He went with the word of God in his hand. He went leaving all honor behind. If any man will come after me, said Jesus Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Dr. Carl McIntyre says, the author of Hebrews is certainly using timely illustrations to comfort and inspire early Christians. Now, the early Christians, they had to flee their lives oftentimes when they become a Christian and they want to share the gospel, spread the good news. They face the brunt persecution, and oftentimes it means losing their livelihood, losing even their very homes. It was grave. And it's also interesting as we consider this text, this story, to observe that only 6 of Israel's 12 tribes fought the battle against their enemies. Naphtali, Asher, Zebulun, Issachar, Manasseh, and Ephraim, while the other tribes did not join in. Right? Judges 5:15-17 says, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak he sent on foot into the valley for the divisions of Reuben. They were great thoughts of heart. Why abode thou among the sheepcotes to hear the beatings of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, they were great searchings of heart, and Gilead abode beyond Jordan. Why did Dan remain in ships, and Asher continued in the seashore and abode in his branches? Why did all these various other tribes, Dan, Reuben, Gilead, Benjamin, consisting the half tribe of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, not fight? Dan was too busy trading, our text tells us. Reuben decided to stay home. Gad and Manasseh did not consider themselves part of the team, since they occupy a territory at the fringe of the promised land. Their non-committal attitude were heinous in the sight of God. This is the same in the church today. There are those who are uncommitted, half-hearted, inactive, and nominal members. The triumphant battle against the oppressor. As the Canaanite army drew to the site of Mount Tabor, the rain came and the plain became a mud pool. wheels of the chariots were stuck in the mud, rendering them ineffective for battle. This gave the soldiers of Israel easy targets. The shock of the overflowing banks of the Kishon River that rendered ineffective the deadly fighting machines of the Canaanites put them in disarray. Israel had a field day pursuing and defeating the enemy. How ineffective was Baal, the Canaanite god of the storm. Deborah, together with Barak, gave honor and glory to God in thanksgiving for delivering Israel from her oppressor with the poetic Hebrew song in Judges chapter 5. If you are a leader, the greatest blessings would be to have disciplined and dedicated followers who have the capacity to believe and obey. Barak did according to what Deborah has instructed him. It must be said here of Barak, a God-honoring leader is a good follower. Barak followed well, although the task seemed impossible with just 10,000 men together in the slopes of Mount Tabor against an overwhelming infantry of the Canaanite army. He was to fight the Canaanites in the plains of Ashkelon, where the chariots of the enemy were most effective. Barak followed the stipulated instructions given by Deborah, as the Lord recorded in Judges 4, verse 7. And I will draw unto thee to the Kishon River, Kishon Sisera, and the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. So the victory plan has already been predetermined by God. Barak was to be God's instrument to carry out the plan to the glory of God. Barak was highlighted, as we said here, as a man of true faith. What shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Barak, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. The Canaanites were defeated on home ground. With God on our side, victory is assured. The Lord is returning soon, and he has given us the great commission to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. A commission, a command to make disciples of all the nations. May the Lord give us his grace to obey his command, to do his will for his honor and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for showing us the faith of Barak, how he was willing to obey the word, the Lord's command, not for any personal honor and glory, but for the fulfillment of God's redemption plan. Father, we thank thee for this man of faith whom thou honor here in Hebrews 11. May thou help us to learn the faith of this man, how he didst obey thy command to do thy will for thy own honor and glory. Lord, and thou bless this man richly. May thou be gracious to bless us, that we may have the strength, the desire, the will to serve thee as Barak served. This I pray with thanksgiving.